It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Dennis Stuckey Show. Having fun already off the air. Yeah, that one's good. Just pull it around.
You good?
Do whatever. Yep.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Coach Pace is here, Joe Pace Sr. from the Port Huron Prowlers. And you are in a feisty mood, obviously, today.
I'm always in a feisty mood. It starts with practice.
So when the games are over, I send a recap in to the league, and I just follow their little guidelines of, you know, the guy just tell us what happened in the period, who scored, who got assists, blah, blah, blah. And I wrote in a little comment to the guy, man, I think Berlin's got a good team. And you were all over me.
Well, you said great team. So we must be greater.
Well, we beat them.
We won.
No, I did. I was just being honest. Like, I know Danville is running away with it, but when we play them, I think we play them really well. I think we match up against them. Berlin, I just, they were so big, and I thought they played good this weekend.
They outweighed us by about 500 pounds.
I just didn't like the matchup. And I mean, it's not that we played poorly. I thought the first and third period Friday night were good periods for us. Second period, not so much. And that was really where we lost the game that night. And then we were talking about it, too. The shots were probably a little askew on Saturday night. Yeah. And I thought we were better Saturday night than we were on Friday.
Back to Friday's game. Yeah, the second period really didn't go our way. The ice was tilted. But I thought the boys, 5-6 minutes into the game on Friday, it's 3-0 us. We didn't finish. And they ended up getting a goal that maybe they shouldn't have got. And was it 3 shots or 3 goals on Friday that hit a shin pad, a skate, yeah, and a stick of ours and went in our net?
The first one was the
Lamoureux shin pad.
The goal that put him ahead in the third period was a off weird goal.
Parkhouse's skate, I believe.
Yeah. And the last goal wasn't very pretty either.
Yeah. So, I mean, with all that said, we were in position to win the game. We didn't win the game, but, you know, it went right down to I think we pulled the goalie. And, again, we threw a barrage of shots and didn't get one.
Love the trade, the move to get Kilgore. I thought we needed some secondary scoring. I'm hoping that he fits in and provides that, you know. He's a little bit bigger body, but, you know, that was the thing. With some of the guys that have been getting called up, we need more than just Mahfouz and Parkhouse and Robertson to score for us. And I thought that move was a pretty good move. So your thoughts on that and how he played the weekend?
First of all, the gentleman that was traded – he's a veteran, nice guy. I've known him for 6 years. Sorely missed, but it makes our team better after the trade, and that's the key. The team comes first. Tom Kilgore, just a nice person, off the ice, on the ice, and very, very sneaky talented. That's what I've noticed, playing against him and now having him. He's going to be, I think, a bright spot.
That's good news. This is good news. Everybody kind of gasps and moans when a guy gets called up, but this is good news. Scott Whitmire is playing really well, and he's going to go to Knoxville, and good for him because he's a deserving guy.
Great guy. They're all good guys. I mean, if they're, like I told you before, if you can't get along, get along. You have to go. See you later. But no, you know what? He's excited at the opportunity. I think they played last night. Some of the boys watched the game, drove 11 hours, you know, put on his gear and went out there and competed. So on that note, that's what we want to do. me personally, that's my job, but it hits home and it's sometimes sad. You know, you spend a lot of time with the guy, you get to know him, and you know where you could use him, where you can't use him, his pluses, whatever, and all of a sudden the phone rings and, you know, they're packing the car. But on the bright note, McCauley's back in town.
Oh, that is good news.
Oh, that's great news. Probably one of the finest hockey players I've ever met.
And he, how long has he been playing defense? Not for very long.
As long as they let him.
As long as you let him. Because I'll tell you what, if he's not the best in this league, he's top three.
Everything he does between his skating stride, his hands, and most of all, the way he shoots the puck. We were playing 3-on-3 at the end of practice tonight, and a couple guys on the bench were sitting next to me, and he took a couple snapshots. I mean, he didn't even move his wrist, and the puck was like a bullet. So, I mean, probably by far the hardest shot in the league, by far.
And that makes the power play a lot better, and it's pretty good to start with.
I beg to differ that. Our power play since I've been here has been to be desired, and I think it's just everybody pressing a little too hard, trying to do too much themselves instead of using the ice, using their skill, and letting the puck do the work for them. It's like they're all fighting it. But he brings a lot of options to the table. He could run the top of the umbrella. He could be on the left side for the cannon shot, or he could play down low and use his big body. He's a big kid.
Last year with Dayton, he scored a goal in our place from, I think it was behind center ice.
It was.
He shot the
slap
puck.
Shot.
Yeah.
I think it was D. Christopher was in the net.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it well.
You know, and you think, man, that's a bad goal. But, two, when you shoot the puck like that, now, you can't see it. How are you supposed to stop it?
Now, again, a couple of the players were talking, and I was talking to St. Pierre today, and he said the way the puck comes off his stick, it's really hard to read it. You know, it starts low, and all of a sudden it takes off, and they can't track it, so... But another player that's on his way back, he should be in town for the weekend, is Dozer. Doe, he'll be back too.
Okay. So this is good news, and I heard Martin Unak is coming back? Or you don't know?
My other favorite hockey player. They're all my favorite hockey players. He's back. He's a little jet-lagged with the time change. He was on the ice the last couple days. He looked really good. And he's looking forward to playing this weekend against the team that traded him to Port Huron.
Yeah, he's good for another guy on our team because I think they play well together. They're comfortable. I think he's good for Jacques. What do you think?
Man, do you have their phones tapped?
I just, you know, hey, I watched them last year, and they every time you guys came in here, you played hard, those guys lit us up.
I never talk about myself, but I'm the one who put those lines together, my friend. You know what? You look at personalities, and I'm a good listener. I open door. If you come to me and you say, hey, coach, I really like the way Bear plays. I want to play with them. Might not be today or tomorrow, but you're going to get the chance to play with them and do your thing. And if it works out, God bless. That's a feather in the cap. But Jock's looking for Marty, and Marty's already asking about Jock. So so I could already give you the line. It'll be Bear, Lamoureux, and Unak. That'll be one of the lines that you'll see Friday.
So I'm looking forward to it. We haven't played Danbury in a long time this year, and we're going to play them a lot down the stretch, and they're all going to be very important games. Because let's face it, the goal is get in. And right now, we're 3 points out. I think we're going to get there, but a couple of big games coming up at home this weekend. How big are they to you right now, or is it too early to worry about stuff like that?
If you get a chance to talk to any of the boys, my philosophy is simple. Shift by shift, period by period, game by game. I'm not looking at Sunday. I'm not looking at Saturday. I'm looking at the drop of the puck Friday at 7:34 at McMoran Arena against Danbury. It's going to be probably a boring game. They're going to probably trap us. They're going to play very defensive style of hockey. They're going to try to keep the scoring down and try to get out of town with some points, but it's not going to happen. We're going to come at them with everything, and we're going to pound them. That's what we're going to do. And David Lund's a good coach. He's a good guy. But I've watched enough game film to know what he preaches and what he teaches. And it's dump and chase, defensive zone, and he's going to trap. So,
all right. Well, we'll beat the trap.
Just have McCauley shoot from outside the red line.
That works too sometimes. I'll tell you what. Health-wise, you mentioned St. Pierre. Obviously, we've been going with James Robbins, and we got Curtis Martineau back. How far away is St. Pierre?
He's like a stepson, but if it was up to me, he'd be really far away. He's played one period for me in over a month, and I thought it was going to be my lean-on guy. Right now, he's struggling through an injury. I think he took in a game against, was it Danbury? I think he ended up getting hit in the crease near the jaw area.
I remember the hit. I just can't remember who we were playing.
I think it was Danbury, but neither here nor there. He's was on the ice. He's feeling better. He's just, we'll call it upper body injury, and it's day-to-day. But the way the other guy played Saturday night, I don't care if they took 120 shots. He played unbelievable. That was a pleasant surprise.
it's nice. I'm used to seeing teams do that, goalies from other teams doing that to us, where we get all those chances, and it's so frustrating when we don't score. It's nice to see it happen to another team.
Exactly. Couldn't happen to a nicer team than Berlin.
Got to take a break. Can you hang out for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Coach Pace from the Prowlers. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM with Coach Pace from the Prowlers. Joe Pace Sr. is here. Geez, we talked about everything off the air, so I guess we got nothing more to talk about.
I thought it was the Joe Pace Show.
The Joe Pace Show.
Coach Show.
We could get you hooked up on one of those.
Chalk Talk. Coach's Corners.
Chalk Talk. How long do you think you could do that? Because especially in the minor leagues, I mean, you were talking about it. If you look at every goal that's scored in one of these games, and there's at least one mistake and sometimes two and three mistakes.
Oh, well, at any level that happens, but it's most notable when you're standing behind a bench, and you're trying to get 3 points. It stands out vividly. But no, I mean, I could talk hockey all day, all week, especially if it's with a guy like you. you know more than me, I think.
Well, I can tell you a few names and the odd story, but when it comes to the X's and O's, I'm always learning, because every guy that's been through here, and we've had a lot of guys through here, has kind of a different opinion of it, or a different way that they like to see it done. Some I figured out, others I had no idea what they were doing. I don't know if you know the name Doug Crossman. Doug is the nicest guy ever.
Played for the Hawks.
Played for the Hawks. Played for the Flyers.
Good guy.
He came in here and tried to coach one of the UHL teams, and he got the chalkboard out, and he was drawing triangles and explaining stuff to guys, and the guys are just looking at him with blank stares, and I knew from day one it wasn't going to work. Well, and about 40 games later, Doug decided to go do something else.
Well, I've said this for, I don't want to give my age away, but a long time. Just because you played the game doesn't mean you could teach the game. And I learn something new every day about the game, and that's what's refreshing. But when you're looking across, I don't care if they're 8 years old or they're 28 years old. You have to say it to each of them differently. Because the way I say it to you, you understand what I'm talking about, but the guy next to you has no clue what I just said. And then you look him in the face and explain it to him, just different verbiage, a couple highs, a couple lows. You know, sometimes you grab them by the jersey and they understand it, but it's like raising a family. You have 18 kids and they're all different personalities and you can't use the same, theory on every one of them.
Some guys can take it if you criticize them. Some guys can't, so you have to kind of do it differently for some guys.
You coddle. I mean, it's the modern era. Years ago, it was, the way I learned how to play the game, we used to have fighting practice. We'd go out there and you'd just pair off, drop the gloves, and fight until the guy won. I mean, if you do that in today's era on YouTube, we'd all be in prison. So, but the modern era, it's a different athlete, and they're all professional. They go about their business differently, and you have to know what makes them tick. And that's how you'll get the most out of them. And like you said, one guy you could just stare at, the other guy you got to sort of tap on the head, and the other guy you got to give him a big hug. But, again, I've never met a player that showed up that said, I'm going to have a bad game today and I'm going to play like blah, blah, blah. They all come to do well, but some of them have the A game, some of them have their D game. And that's my job to identify who's going and play that person.
All right. I know you like guys that work hard. You'll take, we talked about a guy that played here last year, Roger Taguna. You'd take 10 Roger Tagunas over a guy that's super talented just because you know what you're going to get with a Roger Taguna when you put him out on the ice. He's going to play hard for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, you should get with the boys because they'll show you. It's shift by shift, period by period, game by game, and you're going to give 110% every second of every minute of every shift or you're not going to play. I mean, it's, bring the pail. What do you call it? The lunch pail? Yep. And let's go to work.
You brought up fighting practice. I have to ask, where's your stance on fighting in hockey?
I think that, and I've talked to, Andre in Berlin. I've talked to Esposito. I've talked to the commissioner. I talked to Basim up in Cornwall. The only one I don't talk to fighting about is Mr. Monopoly Harry in Danville because his team doesn't fight. But every game should have a fight. One, it's great for the fans. It's great for the game. But fighters fight. Skilled players don't fight. So when you have a guy chasing down a Mafus in Cornwall or Berlin to fight, that's unacceptable. But it's a gentleman's game, and guy goes down, you stop swinging, you tap him on the head, on the bottom of the pants, back of the pants, and you go to the penalty box. I have no problem with it if it's done right, and it's a big momentum swing, too. I mean, we were playing a game, you'd probably be mad that I'm bringing it up, but Foose, we were in St. Clair Shores. We had a two-goal lead. Guy hit him. He didn't like it. He dropped the gloves. It wasn't a really good fight for us, and they scored three goals in less than 3 minutes, and that was the deciding point of the game. So it's good for the team also.
All right. Well, I like it too, and I don't see anybody that's sitting down during one, and I'm with you. If it's got a purpose, if it's two big, tough guys that know what they're doing, nobody's going to get hurt.
Exactly.
And it can change a hockey game. I've seen it change hockey games before.
I'm not going to get into philosophies, but you could go to the NFL. They move the ball for the kickoff. It's the most boring thing. They should just hand it to them and, start on the 20-yard line. The rules have changed over the years where I could go to a Hawks game or any NHL game and I'll try to count the hits in a period, and I can't even get five hits on my hand. So they're doing it for safety issues and, stuff like that. But when you have Bob Probert and, you know, Manson fighting at center ice, there's nothing more exciting than maybe Mario Lemieux splitting the defense and going top shelf. I mean, it's part of the game. It's been around for 100 years, so use it.
And having a little bit of both makes it even better.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah. See, you and I would have gotten along watching 1980s hockey. Is there anything better than Gretzky followed by Semenko followed by some more Gretzky?
Oh, no, exactly. Dennis Savard followed by L. Secord and McGill and Manson. Oh, yeah.
And Secord could play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He could only turn left. He couldn't turn right.
Yeah, but he turned left about 50 times the 1 year.
Oh, 54, actually.
You know, Ricky Vive.
Oh, yeah.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Rick Tockett?
The hockey nowadays, it's a different. Bigger athlete, stronger, more skilled, better condition, but completely different game. A lot of the guys playing today, they couldn't play 20, 30 years ago. They'd quit.
Well, I know that there's, other than maybe Steve Ott, there is nobody on the Detroit Red Wings that could have done it.
Unfortunately, I'm in Port Huron, not Chicago, so I get a lot of Red Wing games, and I watch all the games I could watch. You learn something new, and they're having a rough go. I feel sorry for, from top to bottom, and I think Junior either crossed paths with the coach at one time. Was he in Muskegon or somewhere?
The guys that were in Muskegon are in Grand Rapids now.
But who's the coach that
Blashill is the coach in Detroit. He was in Grand Rapids.
Okay. So the guys in Muskegon are now
the coaches in Grand Rapids. At Bruce Ramsey and Todd Nelson.
Todd Nelson. That's good guy. Good guy. Yeah. He was at the NHL coaching seminar in Buffalo. But I'd like to see, for the benefit of the coach, you know, the team playing better, but they don't have a lot of talent. But
The Hawks went through that, and then they got really good.
Yeah, they got good. And, you know, that's another sad story. Dale Talon, who's the GM in Florida, he put that team together, and the godfather of hockey showed up, and Stan is now the GM, but Scotty, I think, runs the show still up there. But Dale Talon did a good job putting that team together.
You know, that happened here, too, because a lot of guys get credit for what the Red Wings did. And one guy always seems to get dumped on, and that's Brian Murray. But if you go back and look who drafted all those guys that were on those cup-winning teams, Brian Murray was part of that.
Oh, yeah, see? That's
Lidstrom's, Fedorov's, those were all during his watch.
Yeah, so that was one hell of a hockey team.
Yeah. Anyways, we're with Coach Pace. We should do this weekly. I mean, we talk about it, but we should do this every Wednesday if you want.
Well, you never call me.
I know.
I just show up now.
That's fine, too.
No, this is good. This is good. It's good for the community. It's good for hockey. And, you know, it's the best sport, bar none.
Amen to that. All right, got to take a break. Hour number two coming up. Thanks a lot, Coach.